Hello, folks. Welcome to the Nate Land Podcast. As always, I'm sitting here with Brian Bates, Aaron Weber. Welcome, everybody, to the Nate Land Podcast. Also, special guest we mentioned is an airplane. It's helicopters is my special all over again. Dustin Chafee.
Hey.
Welcome back.
Thank you, buddy.
To the show. We were all out. Me, you, Nick, all roommates. Now we're back on the road this weekend.
So much fun.
Saw your Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Which is a big deal for you.
Yeah. Got to go to Heinz Field.
Parking lot of Heinz Field.
I think that's why they won. I blessed the stadium.
Yeah. Yeah. You went in there. You got up early.
I did.
What time did you go?
It was like 8:30.
Yeah. It's crazy.
It's pretty
early. Just wanted to see it, you know? There was nobody there. It was kind of cool.
Yeah. I mean, you walked, right?
Yeah. Just walked kind of in it. Yeah. It was cold.
No, Pirate Stadium's right there, too.
It's a beautiful walk. You walk over these yellow bridges and the river, and it's great.
Yeah. In Pittsburgh.
We did that, and Aaron said, "You want to take these scooters?" And I'm like, I can't. Remember that we were downtown and we wanted,
That's right. Why didn't you take a scooter?
He had one bad experience with me when we went to DC and he did them, and it was
I'll walk.
Wonderful.
I don't like them. He likes them. We were talking about them, Aaron and I. It's like
DC's the best because we would go do it at night at DC, and you just go. You go during the day, but then you go at night, and you're just like. Driving all over the city, it was awesome. And then, when you did it when you're in DC, I mean, it was what would you have to do? I have the video of you. Like, you stopping would just be he'd have to hop off and run with it.
Yeah, that was the first time I'd ever done it.
Yeah,
and it was.
Yeah.
And we were on our way to a PTI taping.
Yeah.
And by the time I got there, I'm just drenched in sweat because I'm so nervous and stressed.
Yeah. And then we go talk to Tony Gornheiser.
Yeah.
and watch the whole show.
I'm just ringing out.
Yeah. Oh, it was wonderful.
Yeah. I don't like them too much. In LA, they just throw them everywhere. So that's what I don't like.
Yeah.
Because we're 50.
You need a docking station. Yeah. You know, we're talking about that.
Yeah.
They were also saying that people that were a little overweight would break them. And then I was like, maybe walking is the option.
Yeah.
If you're breaking a scooter.
Yeah. You know? That's crazy.
Yeah. Because they had to reinforce them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. One of the bird scooters or something. They had to reinforce them because people were too heavy for them.
I feel like kids are doing something to it. Like that's
so. They just jumping blame
them
it and on stuff.
Fat people. Yeah. They just blame everything on fat people. They go,
they're an easy scapegoat.
Yeah, I know. They're like, because you want to go, what fat people are going to hop on this scooter? Yeah. Like to be that big to break a scooter?
Yeah, I mean, pretty big. Could happen.
I think it's kids like popping them.
Yeah. Wheelies
and then when someone says, what happened? You go, that's big fat.
these big fatties keep coming by and spray painting the side of buildings.
And you're like, what happened?
Punk kids.
Yeah. Someone knocked on my mailboxes. I'll tell you who did it. All the fat people in your neighborhood. And you're like, the
street's not wide enough for these streets people.
These people can't. They have to drive different cars. That's what these teenagers, they figured it out. And we just solved their case. Or some case. I don't know the case we solved, but we solved the case.
We did.
This is the first time I've ever met Dustin. I feel like a fan because so many podcasts I listen to, they reference you. I was just listening to Pete Holmes.
Oh, nice.
He was talking about the Boston. He's talking about you. So I feel like a super fan of yours.
Thanks, buddy. I'm kind of the mother hen of all these guys.
You must have people, big name comics that credit you for like their success to some degree.
Yeah. I think in the beginning, you just need somebody to believe in you when you're not that funny.
Yeah.
And so I think I was kind of that guy. Yeah.
That guy. Yeah. Yeah.
When you're, you know,
Chappelle, you're funny.
Yeah. You look like a lunatic back then. Everybody's like, what are you doing?
I see something. There's something there. Yeah.
Give me an example of somebody that.
Well, Nate, you know, had to find that. Like you know, I knew he had the Superman joke. That was the closer.
That was the closer.
Superman. But, you know, he had to adapt to his energy, you know, working in a room like a comedy club.
Right.
And I think that was the fight was always trying to, like, you're going to do you. Is the audience going to come aboard?
Yes.
You know, are they going to come to you? Or are you going to have to, like, do this animated version of yourself?
Yeah, and that doesn't work.
No.
You got to do you.
Yeah, and eventually you figured out how to do that. And so watching that was really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a big deal. I mean, he was, I the way I got to come up in New York is there's no better way. I don't think. And I'm actually sad that it's kind of gone like that kind of way. The freedom that we had at Boston, in a sense, is, I mean, we got to be there. We knew our role.
Yeah.
We were just starting. We're handing out flyers. You're part of a show. You feel a part of something, which is nice. It's all of you together. That's a big, big deal in comedies. Like, because you need to, so many people are starting, you don't know anybody, you're nervous, but you think everybody else is not nervous. And you're like, well, am I the only one that's nervous? And so you need to like go kind of see the same people every day. And that's what we did. We'd go to Boston every day.
Yeah.
And we'd meet at 7 o'clock. And then we'd just go and like, you're just, and so you're around each other. And then seeing in the way you ran the Boston was a club, I just don't know if they've been run like that. It was like the show would start at what, 8?
Yeah, and then go till whenever.
2-3 in the morning.
Depending who dropped in, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it's such a good idea for a show. Like, you have, there's a system in place at the beginning, but the idea of it was that, to let it just keep going. And then so all the guys that didn't have spots, and, you know, that's when Chappelle comes by, 10, 11 o'clock, midnight.
Yeah.
And there's an audience still there. And, you know, it's like, it was just the best, dude.
Well, it's funny. I also was affiliated with a club in Utah. It was a clean club, and it was called Fat, Dumb, and Happies. And that was the funniest thing, was bringing all the New York comedians to Utah, and they all had to be clean. So all of us were clean for the first time.
Yeah.
Like, we'd never been clean before.
Yeah.
And then it's like, you know, it's all these Utah kids, and there's no liquor. You know, they're just drinking Mountain Dew and eating Skittles. And then like Gino, guys that are just Visconti, you know, guys that are just normally really edgy. And then they had to kind of reel it back. And that was interesting watching that. And Pete Holmes that was his first headlining thing, was that through me and stuff. And, you know, he was kind of more made for it, but a lot of us, you know, it was a struggle to figure that out. Yeah. To be that clean.
Yeah. But it's good to try. It's, you know, it's always good to put yourself in a,
well, this has been good working with you. It's like, I know that I have to kind of go in that realm, and it makes you a better comic, because you're just, you know, you're more broad.
To do two different things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And I think, and it shows you can be, you know, I mean, what, some people don't want to do it and they don't have to do it.
Yeah.
But it's never a bad thing to kind of get put out of your element.
You know, it's that's the challenge of stand-up. That's why we do this.
Yeah.
And that's why we put up with all the stuff we put up with, because of the challenge. Oh. If it was easy, it'd be boring.
It'd be boring.
Yeah.
It's easy for some people.
I don't know if it's easy.
Yeah, I don't know if it's easy, but I mean, people just get stuff, I guess. And some people, it just takes a long time. You got to just go.
It never lasts, though, those people.
I think it's better. Yeah. I think anything is going to be better if you have to really earn it. And you have to be around for a long time.
People get it quick. They always, you know, they go away quick.
Yeah. Yeah. Or they bail on stand-up.
Yeah.
Or they bail on whatever they, because it's just too hard.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. A lot of people,
they have no life experience.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people use stand-up, like a lot of actors use it to get more acting stuff, as opposed to becoming a better comic.
Yeah.
Because you see that. That's kind of the trend now, where a lot of actors are doing stand-up because maybe the acting role's dried up or something. That kind of drives me crazy. But
yeah, they just pop over.
Yeah, and then they headline clubs, and they've been doing it a year and a half. Yeah. And you're just like, what?
Yeah,
you know, and they can't even handle crowd work.
But that is true that people won't go see them again. Like they...
Yeah, they know. There's certain celebrities where they're
And then they're like, all right.
They're like,
what
happened?
There's no act.
Yeah.
I'm not seeing a show. I'm seeing like a... You know, I'm taking questions or something. Mm-hmm. And you ask questions and you're like, what was that like?
Well, that's what's changed a little bit, because I think people are more into stand-up now as kind of an art form as before, because I feel like they take it, you know, they know the comics. They know who's funny and who's more of a craftsman than before.
Yes.
You know, instead of just this person's famous, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I think stand-up's getting, people are diving into it more than they ever have.
Yeah. It's like the new jazz. Like, people are like, oh, that's cool. Like they know who the stars are, you know.
Yeah.
The in stand-up as opposed to an actor.
Yeah, it's great. I think stand-up's got the biggest... light shown on it right now than it ever has.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, Netflix was like a Netflix kind of, you know, HBO was the one that gave it that pop early, and now Netflix, I think, is the one that's doing it now, and then it'll be something else that just keeps multiplying. And now it'll be where people can just go do specials on anything they want to go do them on,
because
the audience will find.
And that's what's happening.
That's what's happening. It's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mark Norman told me, he's like, if you don't like it because you don't feel like you're getting your chances, put a special out on YouTube. Anybody can do that.
Yeah, Norman did that. It did great.
Mm-hmm. Podcasts, whatever.
Yeah. Podcasts have been
huge
things for comedians.
Yeah.
Because this is what we do, is talk and be funny. And so it's like, I think it's been a lot. It's been a huge help for people.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be interested to see what happens in 30 years. Where are the comics at then? Because there's people that are starting out just doing podcasts. Huh?
I know where I'll be.
I know where you'll be too. His baby will be 15. Your baby will be 30.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your baby will be my age.
Aaron's age. Yeah. And I mean, you'll still be here. You'll just be.
I'll be 80.
You'll be doing stand-up.
You'll be hanging out.
She'll be coming to visit you.
Yeah.
At the place, at the home.
You know? I won't know who she is.
I think you're gonna be at that home quick. And I think you're gonna, when you get there, you're gonna like, you're just gonna start volunteering there. And then eventually you're gonna be like, you mind if I just crash here tonight? And then slowly you just, next thing you know, Ruth's like, hey, why don't you come home anymore? And then you're like, I think you should come to my place. I got a pretty awesome place. They make the meals for us. And then Ruth's like, well, I don't think I'm ready for it yet. And he's like, that's pretty nice over there.
You got a ESPN and a ESPN too.
Just have regular cable. Yeah.
But I love it.
You love it. Just every scene, watching all the commercials.
Yeah.
Nice. Bunch of pool commercials. They, yeah, but in 30 years, like, because people are not, you know, I just very curious. Because people are getting to start podcasts now. Mm-hmm. So like sometimes your act will get long instead of being tight. New York taught you how to be tight.
Yes.
That is something that you need to learn. And because you need to learn how to like keep it like, you know, just be funny, man, and just keep it tight.
Yeah.
And then the farther you get, you can make it longer. But if that goes away, that can hurt stand up. Because that's, it can get too long.
Yeah, that's, I mean, a lot of people complain about, you know, clubs being hard to get into and all that. That, I think now some clubs is a little easier to get into. And that's what hurts stand-up. Like, you're supposed to be frustrated with a club and then eventually pass. Because then you've done all that work to get past.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what's changed a little bit.
If you're a stand-up, I think just be honest with yourself. And you've got to, when you first start, you know what, like, as we always say, murdering or crushing or... you know what that sounds like.
Yeah.
And so hold every joke up to that standard and then just go do that. If you do that, you will stand out. Cause so many people are going to take easy roads to be like, all right, I'm interesting enough. I'll just talk about something interesting. And then they don't have to really be funny. And if you just always go and just be like, I am going to be funny, you will. I think as you're moving forward, I think there's a great chance you will stand out above everybody else.
Yeah.
And it might take longer.
Yeah.
People figure it out, but once they figure it out, it's...
And it's all about your fan base, too. I think that's what's happening now, and that'll probably continue in the future, I think.
Think about the audience. When you write a joke, think about the audience. It's how do I make them relate to it? Stuff's not becoming relatable, too.
Yeah.
And that's happening with shows and everything, too. Stuff is not as relatable as it used to be. It's like, you want to be relatable. You want someone to go, they want to be like... It's almost weirdly, an audience wants to be relatable now more than ever. Because, you know, all the movies are superhero movies. Nothing's relatable. So that's why, like, some weird indie, not weird, but, like, an indie thing could do good. Because it's like, well, finally, I'm just watching something that's, like, feels like that happened on Earth.
Yeah, it's not a superhero. Yeah, it's just somebody who has a mom and a dad and a thing. Yeah. And it's normal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening.
You think you'll do comedy in your 80s? You think you'll do that? Think you'll be one of those
I think
guys.
So. I mean, I have no idea what I think I'll do it for the rest of my life. I don't think I would never, you know, I can imagine there's going to be a point where, you know, I mean, it's getting very busy and crazy now.
Yeah.
And so I could see where maybe there's not anytime soon, but I would reassess after 50. I'm going to see where I'm at.
I loved watching Rickles in his 80s.
Yes.
And it was just like, you could see that he still loved it. Like he was just like playing in the crowd and running around on stage and his energy. You could tell that's when he felt most alive was up there.
And Steve Martin's in his 70s now and he's still doing great.
Yeah.
Is he doing stand up though or just playing the banjo?
Well, they do. I think it's probably a mix. He does banjo and then him and Martin Short go out.
That shows, their show's really funny.
Yeah.
They have like a new show.
Yeah. So it's like them having fun. I would do stand up. I said, like, I always thought in my head, I was like 40 to 50 will be my sprint. And like, just, you know, and then it's like, and then after that, I would still be working. You still want to work hard, but it's like, you see where I'm going to see where I'm at 50. And then you go, all right, now what am I trying to do?
Yeah. I mean, George Carlin's stride was in his 60s.
Yeah.
You know, that's his best work. It's like late 60s.
Yeah.
So you never know.
I like that where it's like, you know, maybe I look at now probably this run to 50 might be the hardest I'll ever tour.
Yeah.
And then after that, you kind of go like, all right, I can't go everywhere.
Like a residency or something.
Yeah. You're a residency or you just go to kind of the big cities and, you know, or like you try to get as many as you can get, but you're like, I can't do every, you know, it just becomes so hard. I'll do stand up. I mean, the rest of my,
that's all we know.
That's all I know. That's what got me as far as I got anywhere. So I would never turn my, you don't turn away on it.
And,
I love like Leno does it. Seinfeld. Like I always liked that. They just kept doing it. And it's about the jokes, and there's no more. The more you get into this business too, creating a TV show or a movie or even an animated thing, like this stuff takes years.
Yeah.
And so the satisfaction to write a joke, I could come up with a joke and within 30, I could come up with it. When you come up with it on stage, you at them in the moment get mm-hmm. to see if this joke is funny or not. Yeah. And you get the most honest reaction because it's people. It's us, an audience.
Yeah.
And so like that's, nothing can top that.
Yeah. I love seeing people that are very successful and they don't have to do it anymore. That still do, like Leno. Like yeah. he was in Burbank and I was on a show and he just comes in and you could still, he still has that 20-year-old mind of just wanting to work out a new bit and wanting to see if it works this way or that way and like cool to all the comics and like, yeah, you know, he's just a comic. At the end of the day, he's just a stand up.
Yeah.
Even though he's done all these big things,
he wants to hang out.
Yeah. He just wants to be a comic.
He wants to hang out.
And he's like, hey, good set, fist pump, you know, just a regular dude. And then he's, you know, and he gets up and he's got a fun, his stuff is really funny. Yeah. Structured, very old school, which I love, just kind of set up punch and all that. It was great.
Yeah. I mean, cool he was dude. The killer back yeah. then. I mean, he's
so cool.
He destroyed everywhere. And like, that's, yeah, that stuff's the best. And that's, you know,
I just love
stand up is what you do. Let's read some of these comments. So first one, Luke Guajardo,
I would think.
Guajardo, G-U-A, no. Yeah.
Yeah.
G-U-A-J-A-R-D-O. My wife got bored driving home one day and knows I'm a big fan, so she turned on the first episode, listened to it all, and asked if I got better.
If it got better.
If it got better. Same thing. I told her it didn't, and if anything, it probably gets worse. She asked why I listen. I said, because there is nothing better than to listen to a guy with dyslexia. Dyslexia,
yeah.
Read and trash an old man while another guy with gout and a college degree sits and laughs so hard there's no sound coming out of his mouth. Y'all are so great, and I love listening to y'all. I like it. Yeah, this is not, you know, you can't just throw this podcast on someone. Mm-hmm. You can't.
It's acquired
yeah.
taste.
Yeah, it's like you yeah. got to go like, no, you get it. You yeah. get it eventually. Mm-hmm. Like it's cause Santa.
You know, get to listen to the early stuff.
Got to listen to the early yeah. stuff. You got to yeah. yeah, you got to yeah. ease into it. What is this? You're like, hey, yeah, you know. Eventually, John Carson. Hello, folks. Elections are happening here in Honduras, and one of the fringe political parties called Vamos, right?
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
I almost said Vamos. Vamos were hanging out of the corner with their signs the other day. Since Vamos means let's go in Spanish, I rolled down my window and yelled, Vamos, gente. Gente?
I think so.
Gente.
Gente?
People means gente.
Oh, Vamos, gente, which is just let's go, folks, in Spanish. I was met with loud cheers from all. I can't say if they're fans of the podcast, but they are fans of Let's Go, Folks. That's awesome. Honduras. That's
really cool. You should get Spanish
worldwide.
Shirts.
Yeah. John Carson. That seemed like a...
I was going to say.
He's Honduran.
He's born and raised. He's born and raised here.
The only name you've ever been able to pronounce is in Honduras. The guy right before him was Luke Guajardo.
Yeah.
Luke Guajardo.
Did you mix those names up, dude?
I'm just starting to think maybe I did.
Name's John Carson from Honduras. Okay. Lauren Marksbury. The day after our daughter... Ella was born in March. We started binging Nateland. We listened to it so often that your voices become recognizable to her as a newborn. Became recognizable. We're pretty sure she thinks she has three weird uncles who live in the television. She still to this day scoots her body around to watch the TV when she hears Nateland come on. She's 7 months old now, and I've been reading a children's Bible to her. There's a passage where Jesus is calling the disciples to follow him, and normally it is translated as, come follow me. This particular kid's Bible says, Jesus called out to them and said, let's go. So my question is it a legit version of let's go when Jesus says it? Welcome, Ella.
Yeah.
Is it? With the, he say, he's the first let's go?
Yeah. I'd have to hear his tone of voice.
Let's go.
If he said, let's go. Let's go. I'd be like,
let's go, baby.
If he flinched while he did it?
Yeah, just they do that like
flex. Let's go.
It's dude, when people are doing it, you're watching them. They don't even know. It's they're robots,
mm-hmm.
and they just let's go. Like that's what like you would be. This era would be just you could buy toys that are robots that just walk into a wall going let's go, let's go. and it just keeps hitting the wall over and over again. You're like, they don't even know what's happening. They're not even in any sort of reality.
Yeah.
You're just like, you don't go to the store, let's go. Like, and they're like coming back from war, and they just, yeah, no, we're just doing a normal activity, man. Just take it down. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, it's like, we're not, this isn't, you know, we're not running through a tunnel. Kevin Aldridge, when planning a big tour, how do you get into the different venues? Do you call a theater and say, hey, hello, I'm Nate. I'm doing a tour. Will you pay me to talk to people from a stage? That's how I would like to do it. I know you said you get passed at clubs, but on tour, I feel like that would be different. Also, how do you choose where to go, or do they approach you? Yeah, Cincinnati came up to me and they said, we're looking at you. I go, I think I'd be great here.
Sonny Gray recommend you?
Yeah. It's basically that. So really anybody can rent a theater out.
Sure.
I mean, you could just go sit alone in a theater if you had millions of dollars. Yeah. It doesn't cost that much, but you know, some might cost, I don't even know, 20 grand or something a night, or some would be 5 grand a night.
Yeah.
But the big ones are probably more. But you could go rent it out and sit alone.
Yeah.
So you have agents. The clubs are like that. And then now where I'm at, you have agents, and I'm basically saying I have an audience. And so you try to go to these different theaters, and you go to these different markets. And when you first start, you kind of see where your markets are. So you go maybe, and I mean, you're still doing it now where you're like, all right, you do really good here. Maybe it's one show here. But I'm doing, you know, I did 3 shows in Nashville. We're doing 2 Chicago theaters. So it's like you're seeing like, all right, these markets are kind of good for me. They're like really good for me. Texas is good. You know, I'll go to Canada. Like, I think a lot of we are going to Canada this year. I don't think it's announced yet, but I will announce. Like, I don't think it's said now, but I will be coming to Canada later. But it's like, so you go to these different places and hopefully start going overseas a little bit and you start seeing it. Like when I go overseas, which we're hoping to next year, we will, if it works out. But some of those, I'll probably go to smaller places and see, because I haven't been there. So it's like, all right, let's go and see, are people coming? Are they not coming? And then you can just grow. And then when you have an audience, you just call the place and they do it. There's all deals and stuff. I mean, not getting the whole weeds about it, but I don't know even much about all of them. But your agents know, the promoters know. So there's a lot of people and they call and they set up your tour. And we get routed by a bus routing. So like we look at like every gig, every show, like this weekend was just Pittsburgh and Cleveland, but those are 2.5 hours away. So we drove the bus to Pittsburgh, did a show. Next day had an easy drive, drove to Cleveland, and then we drove home and woke up here. But other times you go and like have, you know, a city will be 1 hour to 5 hours, 6 hours, and you just kind of get on the bus and go. I think that's how. Is that enough? Too much? Kevin already turned it off.
It's like, all right, dude.
Christina Marshall. I wonder if it was a good idea to share with the podcast fans how inexpensive it could be to have Ajax or Breakfast do a half-hour show. I'm about to have a show in my living room. Yeah, so that was – I didn't mean that to be – I don't think I was really talking about y'all, like when I said that. Mm-hmm. I was talking about, like, booking like, when you first start. Like, I don't know, like – or when you're not where you're at now, because you're actually you're higher up. But when you first start, we're talking about like if you get like when we first started in the first 5 years, 6 years, you're getting like if you got $300 for a gig, it'd be crazy.
Sure. Yeah.
That was like 5-6 years
ago. Yeah. It just came up on my Facebook timeline feed yesterday, 10 years ago. We did a living room gig. You gave it to me. It was your friends in Franklin. Mm-hmm. And me and John Thornton Jr. went down there and did it. And they paid me $300.
There you go.
For a Christmas party in the living room. Yeah, 10 years ago.
Yeah. So, yeah, Brian's been making money for a while. So, yeah. So, that's what I meant. I didn't mean it. Like, now.
Yeah.
I think y'all make more now. Yeah. And I want, if people want to book you, they should reach out to
you. Yeah. Have you ever done weddings? I've done like weddings where I didn't know the people. And they didn't know me. That. And I was like, and I guess I was cheaper than a DJ.
Yeah.
And they would
have. How'd it go?
It's weird. Yeah. You know?
That's the best. Like, every comic answer. How was it?
Because I
got
mean,
paid.
They were, $300. Yeah. But they were into it, you know, as much as they could be. But it's like such a weird thing because you don't know anybody. So you can't really roast. You can't really play. Like, it was just a weird that they had comic. It was two of us, me and Pete Dominic.
Yeah.
And we were just doing this thing, and it was in New York.
How much time did you have to do?
I think we did like 20 each. It wasn't bad. If in an hour, would have been crazy.
Yeah.
But it was brutal. Yeah. But it was, but they were fun. But just, you just can't do your act, you know. You just can't be like
anybody celebrating anything.
Yeah, it's the biggest day of your life, and it's like, oh, I got a dog. You know what I mean? Like, you can't, you know.
They don't realize that comedy's not good for that.
Yeah, it's just not. It's you get a band, you know. You get a DJ. That's
play the radio.
Play anything, anything but a comic.
Yeah,
but but we need the money, so we're like, well, I'll do it. You know.
Yeah, you know, you almost get a comic to be a DJ.
Yeah, I mean, comedy in between the songs. That would work.
But to have the comic be the DJ.
Oh, be the
Well, then you tell the comic, look, if you don't want to be, if you don't make jokes, and just keep playing songs, and then you could.
Yeah,
once you feel a little comfortable, you're like, look at Susie over here. I don't know her name, but anyway, this next song.
What was up with that speech, John?
Yeah. You know? Whoa.
A little too many of the old martinis.
That'd be great. Just a commentator?
Yeah.
That would almost be a great, just film someone's wedding and then have comics watch your wedding video.
I think that's your fun of it. I think that's your next show.
Yeah, that's the next show. Mm-hmm. And just commentate on your wedding video.
Oh, let's do that.
That would be fun.
I went in on that.
Yeah, I don't know if I have time. Don't signal me because I don't know how much time I have to do it. But if I have the time, I would. That would be pretty fun to go. Just comment on their wedding. Like, what's that? I mean, you got to be comfortable. We're going to say whatever we want to say.
Let that
I don't
go.
Know anybody. I don't know who's who. You know, I'm already acting like this is already a book.
I know.
It's going to be, though.
Oh, gosh.
You know it is.
The one episode I missed was when you were on with Nick. Yeah. And on that episode, I think that's when we said, hey, I'd love to play golf with you guys, so just hit me up. And I'm like, oh, no, I'm not there to shut this down.
Yeah.
That I have to fill out all these emails, you know.
I know. The golf thing, I do want to play. I do, honestly, I really do.
When you
I
hit just, 50, that could be something you can.
When I hit 50, hit me back up. No, if I can make it work, I can't. I haven't been playing. Mm-hmm. So it's just understand that. If I truly would play with you, it's I'm not going to play with anybody. I'm trying to think of the last time I played. I think I'm playing this week in Vegas.
That place was cool. We went to the simulator bar.
Yeah.
Or like a restaurant.
In Cleveland, there's a place called, Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh, yeah.
A place called Five Iron. And it's all simulators.
Like the whole place.
You got to go down there. Yeah. And so, I'm hopefully going to, I'm getting a place like in Vegas. I'll get to go play this week because we have, I guess you're listening to this. It was last week. Because I have one show, then I'm off. But on the road, man, I just haven't, you just can't. And now it's getting cold too, but it's just, I can't get out. It's too much. I'm not there. So, but we're doing all your wedding videos. So email them to brianbates.com @gmail.com/wedding-videos 1-800 BB Bates.
We still got people emailing us telling us what they gave up because your motivation about giving up sugar, which lasted 3 days.
Well, now I'm on the carnivore diet, but then I ate real bad this weekend and today. Start eating now. Yeah. I'm going to lose weight. It's coming down.
You've lost a lot.
Yeah, I lost a lot. Zach Deaton. D-E-A-T-O-N. I like that last name. It's a cool last name. Zach Deaton. Seems like, you know, like he did really good in school. Like, I mean, he was like the cool kid. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's got a job now.
Oh, you mean he did good socially?
In school, he did great. I don't think he's doing much now, but everybody still likes him. Like, everybody's, you know, everybody's like, Deaton, what's up, man?
Oh, what's up, dude?
What are you doing?
How you been?
He's the like, Deets. Ah, good, man.
The Deetster.
The Deets.
What have you been up to, dude?
Not just much, hanging out around here, man, living it up. All right, I rap, and while doing ministry with a local church in Memphis, I was asked to perform a set at an outdoor event at a park. The pastor introduced me and called me up to the microphone and then proceeded to pray for the meal and told everyone they could get in line to eat. So I had to perform for people who had no idea who I was while they were all in line for food. The lines were going the other direction, so they weren't even facing me. I had to rap to a people in line for food with their backs to me. However, the story doesn't stop there. a random man came up to me in the middle of a song and said he had something he had to say. I assumed this was someone helping with the event that had to make an announcement or something, so I handed him the microphone. He then started yelling out incoherent propaganda against the church and the ministry.
Oh, wow.
The pastor then ran up to the stage and got the microphone back and told me I couldn't give it to anyone else. Needless to say, this was not my big break. Zach Deaton.
Wow.
Go check him out.
That's great.
That's such a good story.
It sounds like a comic gig, man.
That is just, that's a awesome story.
First, you'll never give the microphone to anybody.
You learn that.
Yeah, you learn that.
Because you had this happen to you.
Yeah.
And you don't learn it until this happens to you.
Yeah, you don't.
Like, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, never. That's so funny. Yeah, yeah, man. Go ahead. You know, and it's going so bad that he's just rapping and like, and then no one's listening. And he's like, you mind if I say outdoor at a park? Golly, that's so great. Mark Ivy, I'm blind, and I started doing stand-up earlier this year. At my third mic, I bombed hard. I left the stage and couldn't find my seat. I was like a human pinball, tapping my cane, making sound as my cane hit all the chairs.
Oh, wow.
The host kept getting interrupted and was finally like, well, someone just help him. So y'all think bombing is bad. Try bombing and not being able to find your way out. Mark, I think you got your new opener, probably closer.
Yeah,
to be honest.
Yeah, that's.
I think that's a closer. That's a great closer because then you got to go. I got to get back to my seat,
and you can act it out, bang stuff on the stage.
Oh yeah, that's so funny. That's so funny, dude. Yeah, and now it just bombs so hard. Oh, when you bomb, it's just
Have your life flashes before you. You're like, what?
I mean, just talking in front of an audience and people are just.
But the exit is big. I mean, that's like the hardest part when you bomb. I think we talked about what Big J did, the thing where he like took his shirt off and then you got to like put your shirt back on with silence. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, things where you're just like a big to-do and then it doesn't work.
Yeah.
And then you're just like.
I did a show this weekend at a church.
Okay.
And I was bombing. And they take a break in the middle of your act, a 20-minute break for dessert.
Wait, where is this?
A church I
hold
did.
On, let me, hold on, let me get prepared for that. Okay.
Did a church gig.
Yeah.
And I was bombing so bad. And I finally started getting some momentum. Finally got to get going, getting used to me. It's time to stop. The pastor stops. 20-minute dessert break.
Yeah.
And then I had to get back up there cold again and just bomb the rest of the way.
Wow.
So he stopped you mid-sentence or?
Well, not mid-sentence.
Did you know you were being stopped?
Yeah. I mean, we were supposed to stop halfway. It was that time, but I just got some momentum going.
Yeah.
And then dessert break.
And then you had to go back up.
20 minutes and then go back up.
Oh, I didn't go. Did you go get in line with them?
I did actually.
Did you?
Yeah. Yeah. I was sitting at the pastor's table.
Yeah. Dude, that's so funny. Like you just go, yeah. Oh man, I think I've had something like that happen. Cause that is such a funny, like you just, cause you, it's funny to be performing and then you go back to like the normal thing.
Yeah.
And then you're like, but they just saw me and I was on stage performing. There's supposed to be some mystique to it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now you're just like grabbing a plate and you're just, you're getting the potatoes like everybody else. Like, you're just basically like, I'm everybody else. And you're just and going to get dessert and you're picking and go, oh, does this have? That's where you don't ask any questions.
Yeah,
you just take whatever they give you.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, just like in New York, people think we're like rock stars. And then you see that person on the subway, you know?
Yeah.
And you're just like riding the same subway home.
You're like,
they're like, you're famous.
Like, I just paid $10 or $15 to see you. And you go, yeah.
Yeah. I think intermission's always a bad idea with comedy.
Like, of course.
It's just, one time I was in Sweden and I was performing, and that's how they do it there. Well, they'll have like four comics go up, they'll have an intermission, somebody can go get their drinks, and then they'll have the headliner come up. And I had a headache, and I asked somebody from the festival, I was like, hey, you got an aspirin or something? And she gave me something that was like codeine, and I couldn't even speak when I went back up. So I was just like, you know, my mouth was numb, I was like drooling. Because I'm sober, so it's like anything that's just a little bit is going to knock me out.
Yeah.
So it was like the worst. I don't remember half of it, because it was just like so jacked up on some Swedish aspirin. Oof. So
Well, now you get those flown in for you.
Now I can't perform without them.
Now I can't perform. This is how it all starts.
You guys want some? I got it.
Yeah. We don't do. I get asked a lot if we do an intermission or people. I wonder if they think, but I don't. I just, you know, I have two to three comics. I like bringing y'all on the road this week, and we had three. But it's like everybody, it's going to be probably 30 minutes before me. And it's all, usually it's everybody that you've seen on this podcast that's going to be opening. And it's fun to go out with us, and we all hang out. And I think, the audience likes it. It's a bunch of buddies just hanging out. But they, I don't ever do an intermission. I know people have to go to the bathroom and stuff, but it's, you know, it shows like an hour and a half, hour 40. It always starts like 10 minutes late, usually. So, all right.
Let's like a movie, you know.
It's like a movie. It's a movie. Go sit there. That's sit there. People. let me read two of these. I'll read the other two in a second. Let's get back into it. Mark Hansen. So tonight I'm having dinner at my favorite burger joint in Holiday, Utah. Tony's Burger. I just happened to glance up at a sign next to the register. Never really noticed it. I laughed, and all I could think was, I wonder if they sell penguin burgers or something. What do we got?
Nate Bargatze.
Boom. People eat free at Tony's Burgers.
It's a list of celebrities who apparently just get to eat free at this restaurant. And it's pretty crazy company you're in right here, Nate. Right above Simone Biles.
Yeah, right above Keanu Reeves.
Fallon.
Yeah.
Idris Elba.
Eddie Murphy.
Pete Davidson.
Any Utah jazz players.
Timothy Chalamet.
Oh, yeah. Wow. We're doing good.
Emily Blunt. Did you know about this?
GMI. So I went in there one day. And paid for my burger and standing next to my name that said I eat free. go in there. Yeah. Me and Rich Day went in there. I actually met Tony, guy, afterwards. It was very funny. Like they were like, you're never going to pay again. There's no way they would have known that it was me. Mm-hmm. And I didn't say anything. Like, you know, it was like, we just paid for it. I just wanted to go see it. But it was very funny. And I do like my first experience being like, I had to pay for me and Rich. I lost a ton of money going in Tony's Burger. I'll be back. When I go back to Utah, we'll go to Tony Burger's and we will eat. And I will then make a big deal about it. I wear a shirt. I'm going to just walk in with my driver's license, just a big picture of it. But no, they're awesome, dude. And everybody that worked there was awesome. And and I actually randomly met him. He was at the jazz game when we got to go.
Oh, okay.
And so he was like, hey.
He was just a fan of yours before this?
Yeah. And then, here we are. I get to eat free now. Tony's Burgers.
Are there multiple locations? Or is Holiday, Utah, a suburb of Salt Lake?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not from there.
Well, I know, but the one that you went to,
Was
it in Salt Lake?
Yeah, but it might have been Holiday. I don't, it's like going, if someone's like drove here and they're like, am I still in Nashville? And you're like, I don't know.
I just wonder if it was a chain or not.
Yeah, I didn't look into it that much. I went to that one, but maybe there is a chain.
Yeah.
Probably.
Free burgers across the country.
I get them everywhere. I try to do the same thing at McDonald's. I do anywhere I go. I go, well, not as good as Tony's Burgers. That's what I say. I love Tony's Burgers. Jennifer Forrest, you can truly have a Nate Land in Tennessee for $725,000. They have a town for sale about an hour from Nashville. What would be the first law passed in the new Nate Land? Well, I want to go look at this town.
There it is.
Here's the town right here.
Oh my gosh.
It's in Murray County.
Wow. How far is that? An hour?
Yeah. Well, not from here, not even that.
Oh, it's just that little area?
Yeah, you could do something with that, though.
It's the city right here.
It's going to be where the theme park is.
Yeah. A little golf thing, a little putt-putt.
Yeah.
This article said that a bunch of, Hollywood keeps calling and they want to buy it to make it a movie set. Mm. Yeah. But they don't want to sell it to them because they don't want the history of the area to be destroyed.
Oh, wow.
So they want somebody authentic to buy it.
They're asking me to buy it.
Pretty much.
It's 7 acres. It sounds like, if you're like, I bought a town, and then you're like, well, that guy next to you can just...
It's a small town.
What if he comes to tax my town?
It's a small town, for sure.
I think there's a guy in the middle. What's that middle spot that I'm losing?
This guy right here?
No, over there to the right.
Oh, right here. He didn't want to sell.
Yeah. This is somebody's house.
I mean, I'm going to have to go in and fight that guy first to take over him. He's immediately first. I got to attack him so I get his land.
That's the first law?
That's the first
law. First law would be declare war on the other city.
First law, we would declare war to that guy right in the middle.
Evacuate.
And then I would be radioing over to my other land in my other town. And I would be talking to them about, we're going to flank them from the back. And they got to go right to the front. Or I'll let them, give them the opportunity to join the land. I say, will you join our town? And if they say no, I say, okay. You'll be seeing us again. And they go, what does that mean? And then I go stand 10 feet from them and come up with a plan. I would definitely try to, I'd get that land, that guy out, and mm-hmm. I would try to get those two joined.
Yeah.
So how do
So it's at least like a whole block.
Yeah, it's got to be one whole section.
Yeah, it's got to be a section. We have two sections. Or I'd build an interstate to the other part.
Mm-hmm. Or a little tram.
Yeah. A little public transportation.
Yeah.
Well, I would do that. Yeah. We have public transportation.
A little scooter ramp or something.
Horse and buggy comes with it. We get part of the creek.
Mm-hmm.
A couple houses.
Those houses need to be flipped. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. I mean, you're...
It's a bit of a fixer-upper town.
I mean, can you imagine if like that's where you're...
That's where the mayor lives.
That's City Hall, right?
Yeah.
You take two steps down and you're in the middle of the road. That's a road.
Yeah.
That's not a driveway. That's the main road. People are going 60 down that road. And your baby's out there playing on the porch. Don't fall out.
Did a little research. There's 6, almost 7 Tony Burger locations.
They're doing good.
All in Utah.
Tony was sitting pretty close to the floor, so he seems like he was doing all right. Thank you, Jennifer Forrest. We could have our own Nate Land. I would do a Nate Land. We have Nate Land Festival. We should do that.
Oh, there you go.
Nate Land Festival.
Now you're talking.
Buy this out
and do a Nate Land Festival.
Yeah.
Act like we just have $725,000. like, hold on. I got my...
Call it the greatest average American festival.
Yeah.
You did good on merch this weekend. So
yeah. The green room is the other part of the town.
Yeah.
Jacob De Leon. No?
De Leon.
There you go.
I was recently at a charity dinner and were given name tags. I noticed the last name of the gentleman a few seats down from me was Poinsett. Thanks to your Christmas episode, I was able to ask him if he was by chance related to Joel Roberts Poinsett, the namesake of the Poinsettia. He was actually a direct descendant. How crazy is that? He was amazed at how much I knew about his ancestor. When he asked me how I knew about it, I panicked and said I heard it on an educational podcast called Nate Land. He said he would have to check it out. Hopefully I was able to recruit a new folk. I think you might have made him rethink his old history. That's so crazy.
Yeah, how about that?
We're an educational podcast.
I'm glad I didn't remember that at all.
I remember that. I pay attention to this podcast.
He went like to Mexico and brought him back or something and just named him Poinsettia.
I remember that.
I don't believe you do. John from Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. All right.
That's my mom's name.
You know what? I know who he is.
That John.
Okay. Helps to put a name with a face. My wife and I run a small bike rental and ice cream business. Now that we are closed for the season, my wife brought home all of the snacks to pass out for Halloween. I think this is a different job. I noticed the first couple of kids wouldn't take the candy, and I went over to see what was wrong. My wife left all the prices on the candy, so the kids thought we were charging them, and they owed us money. I ripped off the price tags, but realized maybe I should start charging next time. So they're like, why is no one buying?
No one's taking our free candy. Oh, because we're charging them.
My wife brought home all the snacks to pass out for Halloween.
From their business.
From their business.
Pretty savvy kids, though.
I can't get over that. He put the city in his name.
John from Lake Geneva. He wanted his
lunch from Lake as opposed to...
He wants a name with a face. So they have like a Snickers bar, and it has like a little thing on it.
A sticker on it.
And so like, let's just
like a little small shop. Yeah.
And then Halloween, yeah.
They put it out, and all the kids are like, we have to pay for this?
Yeah, can you imagine that? You got to go, I got to have a quarter to go there? You're the opposite of, that'd be a great story. That's what you should do. I do like that, isn't it? You'd be like we talked about, like Big Candy. People remember that for the rest of their life. And people would remember if you're like, yeah, this family, John. He goes, John? Yeah, I'm from Lake Geneva. Oh, yeah. Wisconsin? Yeah. Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. So... He says, they used to charge us for They charge us. He goes, that's so John.
And that's the house you toilet paper every year.
Yeah.
The one that run the bike and ice cream business?
Yeah.
He goes, still doesn't ring a bell. That would be if you don't get it by.
Yeah.
You know John from Lake Geneva? You know him and his wife? They run a small bike rental? I don't know. They also have that ice cream business?
Kind of.
Kind of. remember they charged everybody for the Halloween snacks? Yes. All right. I know what y'all are talking about. That's how long it would take. Andrew Hayward. We had a memorial service for my grandmother this past weekend. Sorry about that. At the start of the service, the pastor came up to do an introduction and started off by somberly saying, "Hello, folks." Suddenly, my cousin yells from the back of the room, "Let's go, folks." The room was dead silent, and then I barely overheard his wife saying, "I can't believe you just did that. I don't think anyone else got it," and the pastor was bamboozled. But I got a short break from the sadness and almost laughed out loud.
That's great.
Well, that's what you're here for.
That's great.
Yeah. Chris Good. My grandpa's name was Eugene. And when my dad was born, my grandma was asked by the nurse what she wanted to call the baby. My grandmother looked at my grandfather and said, "Call it Eugene." When they received the...
No, call it Eugene.
Call it Eugene. When they received the birth certificate, it said, "Call it Eugene." C-O-L-L...
Colette.
Colette. C-O-L-L-E-T-T-E, Eugene.
Yeah.
My grandparents thought it was a funny story and left it. My dad has lived for 65 years with the name Colette Eugene. It's a funny reminder that our older folks like Beefcake Bates had some fun humor back in the good old days. That's wonderful, man. I mean, that's probably annoying for Eugene at points, and then it comes around. Like, it's got to be...
Colette.
Colette.
Yeah. You always got a story.
You always got a story. My name's Colette. And then you're like... Yeah, I mean, it's a great story, though. Yeah. It's one of those that, yeah, I could see you being like, it's a little annoying, but then now he's 65, and it's like, he probably loves it.
Yeah.
You're going to love it.
This guy's grandparents were like comics. They saw a funny thing. It's like, let's go with it.
They go, oh, I love it. Yeah, I'll leave it.
That works. It's worth it for the story.
Yeah. Exactly. When he's 65, he'll appreciate it.
When he's 65, he'll get it. he loves it. All right. So this one. So we just, I mean, if you listen to this, we just recorded, we had Nick on last week, but they're both here today because Nick and Dustin are flying back to LA today. And so we had Dustin, and we talked about the universe some, and we're going to do another one. But then it was like the universe, I feel like we should dive back in. We kind of brushed over.
Yeah, we only scratched the surface last
time.
It's pretty big.
It's so big.
Yeah, the universe. I don't even know how much we can. It's so big that there's almost not much to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Because you just go, it's so big.
It's like the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
It's so big, you don't even care.
You don't even, you go, all right.
Can't see it all.
Too hard. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, it's, I mean, it's hard to write. Yeah, like it's, I mean, you know, that blue pale thing. The
pale blue, pale blue dot.
Pale blue dot.
Yeah, the key of that whole movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
The key point to the whole movie.
What
the
movie?
Blue and the red. You're talking about the Matrix?
Oh, no.
You said the Matrix.
No, oh. I don't know. That. Okay. There's that picture where it's a blue dot.
Oh,
it's
sorry.
Zoomed out.
Okay.
And so it's like, to wrap your head around that is like, I mean, I don't know. It's like, what are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to do with that information? What do people do? Once you get told that, what do you do?
I find it comforting. Because of all the struggles, the problems of the world, for whatever reason, to me, to realize we're so small and so insignificant, it makes me peaceful.
That's what skydiving did for me. When I did it for the very first time, it made me see how small everything was.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was just so amazing to just float down over the earth like that.
But what if there's nothing out there and it's just this small dot, so we got a lot of weight on our shoulders? And so... It could be the opposite, and we're actually the most important, and you should get it together.
Mm-hmm.
So it could go two ways.
It could.
You're blowing it. You're the only possible human in this enormous galaxy, and it's being wasted on thinking about the nothingness. That's zero pressure. That's just another way to look at it.
Yeah, we talked about that quote last week from Carl Sagan, and it was much better said than how we did it, but it made me realize just this planet's been here forever. It's going to go on long after we're gone. So some of the stuff that we get so upset about, it's not going to matter next week.
Seems so silly when you look at the Earth as a dot like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot, but it's, you know, that's all we wouldn't even get to the "you are here." You know how far away that is? I mean, that's...
If you have to climb that rope.
Yeah.
Jump on that point.
Yeah, you have to get to that arrow, which is... That's far.
Things are so far. So far away. So if you had to guess between the Earth and the moon, the moon feels pretty close, right?
Because Too close.
How many planets do you think you could fit between the Earth and the Moon?
9.
17.
25.
Oh, y'all are going way high. You could fit all of them. I thought it was amazing that you could fit all the other planets between the Earth and the Moon. And you still have like 1,600 miles left over.
Wow. Yeah, I think you went to college and like, so... Like that, like you, I don't know, y'all like really talked about planets and stuff. And so, well, I never talked about them. Did you go to college, right?
Art school, which doesn't really count. Yeah, we're not talking about planets, yeah. You know. We're just finger painting. Yeah.
just to go.
You just needed a degree to make mom happy. Yeah, that was it. So I could do stand-up.
I don't know how much planet talk I remember. And
Pluto.
Pluto talk. Yeah. But I don't think I thought about, like, could you put them all in between? So, like, that's, I would almost think, I would be like, oh, I guess it's, that seems shorter to me than bigger.
Wow. Really?
Than the Moon.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're surprised it's that few.
I thought you were going to say 20,000 or something.
20,000, like Jupiter's?
Well, I mean, you know? I'm also looking at a tiny dot. Oh, so that's you're like, true. That's, you're like, I don't know. You're like,
your frame 100. Of reference is off right now. Yeah. Yeah.
But between how big are we compared to, like, is Jupiter the biggest
in our solar system?
And then Venus is...
Jupiter's bigger than all the other planets combined.
Yeah.
Jupiter is.
Oh.
I don't know. I just love how, like, the universe is just summed up in kind of to a map mall. Like,
Yeah.
You were here, and the gap is on the second floor. Yeah. Food court.
I mean, when that... Yeah. So, what's his name that said this?
Carl Sagan.
Yeah. So, I'm not trying to act like... I don't like when someone's like, I can do it, but not trying. This guy's smarter than me, obviously. But like, yeah, when he says that, you know, it's like, you're still like, all right, Carl, but you know, it's raining out today. So just bring your umbrella. Like there's gotta be, you know, he says it's like this big thing that you then have to go like, well, our daughter's got a dance tonight. So you gotta go take her. And he goes, all right, I'll go to it. That they're that big. I think about how small we are too. Like I'll think of it sometimes. Because you look at, I thought of it this weekend or something. Like, you just see where you're like, oh, yeah, you're nowhere. I mean, that's, you know, people talk about like the land. There's land everywhere, dude. Like, we're nowhere in America. We're barely anywhere. I saw a map, I think that somewhere that said, had all the dots of people, well, places in America that are not, no one lives at in America. Mm-hmm. And there's more dots than there isn't. Mm-hmm. Like, of just areas where there's nobody. There's nobody anywhere in America, basically. You know, we discovered our own selves. That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah, we haven't discovered who we are.
We don't know who we are.
Mm-hmm. Lots of places for Nate Lane.
It looks like after Saturn, there's a big drop off there. Oh, I didn't see those.
I love Saturn. Mm-hmm. It's so cool looking.
That's so it's Jupiter and that's Saturn.
Yeah,
so Saturn is probably the coolest one. If
it's
you could
pick. So cool. Yeah.
Why don't we go there? Because that circle around it's probably a pretty big deal. It's tough to get in.
Is that like the is like the gate?
It's got to come in from underneath.
Well, that's a gas planet too. So there's that's a total gas planet. There's nothing to land on.
So we couldn't. Yeah.
So the hula hoop would just fly through it.
So we couldn't live on that one.
And then
you fly through the hula hoop.
Well, and it's sideways. That would be uncomfortable. You'd also be walking up.
What keeps that is
that would be not.
Yeah, you know, take a scooter.
Sliding
you gotta just be a lot of that, a lot of steps. That's a town.
You can magnetize it.
It's a world
it.
Of steps.
But it's like Nick's minivan on that.
Yeah.
That's clip, deep. Clip.
Crash into the planet. There's, what keeps that ball of gas a ball?
Gravity.
Mm. So they have gravity. That's cool.
They got it too.
Yeah.
No water. Nice.
I guess I didn't think of gas as having gravity.
Yeah. It's all got gravity out there.
Yeah.
You know what's wild to think about? No sound in space. You ever think about that?
I'm just learning about gravity, so I haven't got there yet. But it's... I thought there's no gravity.
What did you just ask?
I thought there was no gravity.
Yeah, like...
Well, if you're out of way from anything with any mass, there's no gravity.
Yeah. But there's still gravity. Mass will still have gravitational attraction to it. Yeah.
I didn't read this last time.
I feel like I went to school for like an hour. Like all of my schooling was in there. Like I just breezed through it. I'm like, I didn't pay attention to anything.
Doing pretty well.
I just want to go back and look at me and see what I was doing. Like, what are you doing? That's what I would love. If I had a time machine, I would just be like,
just watch this podcast.
I do. It is educational to me.
Yeah.
But it's like, I don't like, do people learn this?
But stuff? In 30 people, minutes from now in the future, when you're like, who cares? Let's move on.
Well, that's the,
that'll be the answer.
That is. So that's what happened.
Yeah.
Is I just go, I don't care. I've thought about it. I don't, I'm not education smart, like whatever that is. So like people still, you know, they're always like, no, you're smart and all this stuff. I don't know how to. I don't think of stuff the way you think of stuff. Mm-hmm. I just don't. I don't. It doesn't stick with me. The stuff that doesn't matter, like, not that it matters to me, but until it matters to me, I can't pay attention to it.
Right.
So it's got to, like, and I'm not saying this matters or I'm feel interested in it. Not like it matters to me.
Yeah.
Because it's not about, I don't want anything to be about me, but it's like until I can find a way to be like, okay, I understand what that is. Mm-hmm. And then I can, then I go and I move. But like, I think when I just kind of feel like you're just,
Yeah.
I got to wait till it gets there. Okay. When it gets there, and I'll get very curious.
Yeah.
I'm really not. Yeah. The book stuff, we'll smart.
We'll get
That's
there.
Why I can never graduate college. I mean, I'm not smart enough to.
You're looking
at
the teacher, and you're just like, you're bombing right now. Can you not feel the need?
Well,
can you not speed
it
up?
What are you talking about? These words, or who cares?
Like algebra and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh,
who cares at all, dude? Like, talk, make it, you know, do it in a cooler way.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Kind of like the children's Bible, like she was talking about. Like it needs to make more sense to
people.
Yeah, let's go.
Let's go.
So I don't really understand this, but only 5% of the universe is made up of people, planets, stars, stuff like that. 69% is dark energy, and then 26% is dark matter. I don't know the difference, but they just discovered one of the, like, proof that one of these existed. It's invisible, but they say it's out there. And I guess they know it exists because gravitational pull. I'm looking at you.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know a lot about this.
I don't even know what you said.
There's a lot of gravitational pull out there, and they're like, well, what's doing it? Because there isn't anything out there, and it's dark energy, which is some type of invisible matter.
Does that include black holes?
I don't know. A guy told me something about black holes this weekend in the meet and greet.
What was it?
I don't know. there's a lot of them. Or something.
A black hole is created when a big star explodes. Its gravitational force.
If it's like written for a second grader, when a big star goes bye-bye, it becomes.
Well, come on.
I thought that was. How else would y'all write it? Why don't? What are you going to say? What would you? How would you read it? That's the problem, dude. We're seeing the problem.
The combustion of the eternal.
When a big star goes, it was just.
We don't got to use that voice.
It was just funny the way he said it.
Way you just read it, very
Its gravitational force is so strong that nothing can escape from it. Luckily, the closest black hole is about 10,000 light years from Earth.
Right there.
There's a big one at the center of the Milky Way, right? I think that's what's at the center of it. Mm. That's what it's all spinning around.
Just a spot.
A black hole.
Yeah. Mm. And what goes in there? Does it goes in there that we don't even know?
Like anything. Sinkhole. Nothing. Light can't even escape from it.
Yeah.
That's because the gravitational force is so strong.
Yeah.
That's what's at the center of it.
That just goes somewhere.
Where's it go?
What do you mean?
So space, like, probably like way, like the ocean. Would that be space? Could be like the ocean. And that's like, you know, like one of those things where.
Oh, like a whirlpool?
Yeah. Is that what that is? Like, if you think of it like the ocean.
Like a sinkhole?
Like that?
You could, yeah. I mean, you could think about it that way.
Does a black hole have a bottom?
Could. No, well, I don't. But the oceans are so deep. They could be deep. They got to go somewhere where they're so deep that it doesn't even matter.
Uh-huh.
Dark matter. But like, and something, these black holes are just like hurricanes. Like they're just like a bunch of they. Stay
but the
there.
Gravitational force is so strong, everything just
But that's what. What was it called?
Black hole?
No, the
spin, whirlpool.
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 Like the whirl. They do. Is that they don't call it whirlpool? That's like a sauna. Like a steam room.
Like a
steam room.
Yeah.
What's it called? Like a.
That's called a whirlpool.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
That's where it came from, probably.
Yeah. And they named that whirlpool company after
a washing machine? They named it after that? Yeah.
But like it would be like that. So that's what I think black holes are.
Okay.
And then they're just there.
Yeah, it works.
And that explains everything, because then it's the oceans. Like, it's all the ocean. We haven't discovered the ocean.
Figured it out.
Yeah.
I go. That's what I do in my science meeting. All right. It's not even.
Handle that.
10 a.m. Let's go. Let's do something else. Throw me another one.
So the closest the closest galaxy to the Milky Way. Anyone know? It's the Andromeda galaxy. It's the closest one. It's still pretty far away, but it's moving directly towards us at 68 miles a second, wow, which is 1.8 Rhode Islands across per second.
Yeah, I looked at it.
Yeah, yeah, I did the math earlier. So it's moving at a 68 miles per second.
So every second, it gets Rhode Island
it's moving,
closer than us.
Andromeda Galaxy's coming right at us.
Yeah, 68 miles per second.
Which is a great way to look at it. So picture Rhode Island.
Yeah, well, the width across Rhode Island, 1.8 of those per second. That's how fast it's
going.
Oh,
yeah, almost two. So almost two Rhode Islands are just like, you're like, God, it's coming quick.
It'll be here before this podcast.
Do you think we can see it? Like, is it coming that quick that you're like, what is that? You know, it's not that close yet.
It's like, no, would it's he turn not, not to where you notice it.
You know, it's like when you say his name, when you turn around, would you be like, what is that? I think that's when you're in trouble when you go, what is that?
Well, this
it's
is
like two Rhode Islands.
So it's not going to hit us for another 4.5 billion years.
Give or take.
So yeah, give or take a few seconds.
Yeah.
So it's going to combine with ours and it's going to become the Milkometa. Milky Way and Andromeda is going to become the Milkometa galaxies. But they think the stars in these galaxies are so far spread apart from each other that the galaxies will combine, but they think there's an excellent chance none of the stars will actually hit each other because they're that spread out.
That's good.
Oh, and there's that much room, but it'll combine, and a lot of planets will get probably thrown out from gravitational force. They'll just get ricocheted out just from gravity.
But better benefits because it's a bigger company, right?
And
when they merge. Yeah,
so there'll be a lot more going on.
Will it's Earth like, be done?
I mean, we'll be done way before that probably.
Yeah.
4.5 billion years. The Earth will have, or the sun will have exploded by then probably.
Are the stars like on fire? As a kid, I always thought that's what they told us. Like they're just on fire in the sky.
Like a solo stove out in the sky.
That's what they told
no
us.
Smoke, no man. Smoke.
The smokeless fire pit just in the sky.
Yeah. What's no sand?
Like solo stove.
That's what solo stove should do.
Solo stove in the sky.
We look at it. We don't want to brag about ourselves, but we do think as the stars of your driveway. And we put out no smoke, just a little sound. And what's no sound? So when they're in space and they can't hear sound, they're just.
That's like, got to be nice, nothing. Though. That sounds amazing.
You don't even hear your like stomach.
That sounds amazing.
Because no sound can exist.
Well, sound needs something for it to travel across.
Yeah.
Like air. And if there's no air out there, then those vibrations have nowhere to go. There's nothing
vibrating.
Would you
feel it?
You'd still feel.
So someone hit you, you'd be like, God, you know.
But then nothing would come out of your mouth when
you said it. And you go, hey, man. And he's like.
We're in space, goes, dude.
I can't. He goes, draw it. And then he goes.
Doing charades.
And he's like, I don't know how to draw, but I can do sounds really well. And you go, well, why don't you do that on Earth where we had sound?
My boy's up there.
Oh, it's a fun callback.
Isn't it the coldest that can be possible in space?
It's not absolute zero. Actually, I was looking up this earlier, and I don't want you to think that I know all this. We were looking during lunch. The coldest temperature and the hottest temperature in the universe are both on Earth.
No,
in the whole universe. We've created them on Earth.
Oh. Solo stove? An oven.
In an oven.
And Hello Fresh. Microwave, stays probably. Frozen.
Is it microwave?
Microwave can get pretty hot.
Heat
I bet
metal
it's some type
stuff?
Of particle.
One of those colliders, metal. Whatever they're called, where they haven't, nothing's been that hot since the Big Bang, they think.
Mm.
We've created it.
And what was the coldest? I'm sorry.
Absolute zero, which I think.
How do you get to that?
I don't know. You just put a lot of ice. I don't know how you'd get, you know.
How do they, the Big Bang stuff, like, how did they figure it out by, like, they just read old newspapers and stuff and just track it down? Is that like, they just.
Found the old almanac.
Go to the library and just go, here's the first almanac. Something looks fishy here. And they keep going from there.
So keep going back.
So there's colder than zero. 0 degrees.
No, absolute zero is. The coldest.
That's the zero that we know.
That's when things literally stop moving.
Is that zero? Is it
not zero Fahrenheit?
Not zero Fahrenheit.
It's like, no. Yeah, zero Kelvin.
I thought I read like outer space is 270 degrees below zero or something.
Oh, just out in the middle of.
Which I thought they said was as cold as it could get, but I don't know.
Yeah.
That's pretty cold, man.
It's pretty cold. Yeah. What would you, the jacket, the coat? I guess you had the space earmuffs. Suit. So why don't we wear spacesuits around here? Because they can wear them out there. So you'd be like.
Some people do during COVID.
Yeah. That's what they say. Everything's made by NASA. Like the astronauts use it. You're like, all right, I'll try some of that.
Yeah.
But it never really goes as far as it should go, you think.
Yeah.
Like when they say the astronauts use it, you should be like, well, these should be selling off the.
I think they cost about $12 million a piece, those spacesuits.
Wow.
Yeah.
Some people can't afford them.
I used to eat the ice cream, the astronaut ice cream. You ever heard of that?
Dippin' Dots?
No, that was Dippin' Dots was amazing. They had Dippin' Dots in space. That'd be unreal.
I thought that was astronaut ice cream.
No, had like that it's hard. It's like a powder. It's like powder, right?
I thought it was hard. It was like, a sponge.
Okay,
it's like chocolate, vanilla, and strawberry.
Right. Is it okay? It's
the first good. Thing that's impressed you about space is Dippin' Dots. If they had Dippin' Dots in space, that'd be amazing. Pale blue dot, who cares?
It looks, that's what should be one of the flavors.
Yeah. Pale blue dot.
Pale blue dot. I'll take a bowl of Earths and then
those pale blue dots in there. That's so funny.
Yeah.
That'd be a good Dippin' Dot flavor.
I don't really understand this, but it says there's no such thing as the universe's center. And I don't know how.
Like the ocean. There's no middle of the ocean.
I think there is.
Where?
I don't know where it's at, exactly. But I feel like you could take the ocean and look at it and geographically figure out where the center would be.
But it all connects. So you have to have an ending. You have to have a beginning and an end. Well, there's no beginning and an end because it's all just together.
Well, I guess that's true.
So the universe is like that. There's no beginning or end. There's not a wall that goes, that's enough. Can't go past here. So you're all just like, we're in the middle of the ocean.
But if the universe is expanding out from a singular explosion.
Right. Seems like that'd be the center.
Wouldn't the center be where that explosion happened?
Yep. It seemed like it would be. But to your point, if there is no walls,
like it would just be where that explosion happened. And then so you.
Yeah. And then everything. So everything's expanding out from that explosion. Yeah. So theoretically, if you were to take it all back, that would be the center of it.
So what's, I don't think I even know what the Big Bang Theory is.
It's like a single spark or something just
blew up,
made the whole universe.
So that's when they say universe is expanding and everything's constantly moving. Yeah. That's because it all started from a singular explosion and everything's still just moving out.
How did they think that exploded?
Good question.
What did explode?
It was just a collection of stuff that just exploded at the middle
in a millisecond. I feel like you can talk a scientist into where he goes, it was just a bunch of stuff. Yeah. Like, I think there's a point where they have to go, that's what I think I want. I want them to go, we don't know for sure, but this is our best guess. And I would go, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then you ask the question, well, like we did the last episode, well, who did that? Where did that come from? And no one knows. Stephen Hawking, I think he said, was content with just, it came from nothing.
Yeah. Who could tell what that guy said anyway?
Yeah.
I tried to read that
Mark,
book.
It was Mark Anunsen's old joke. Yeah.
I just got lost the whole time, that book.
A Moment in Time?
Yeah. I just couldn't grasp any of it, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't. Yeah. You don't know the words. That's the problem. Sure. Like, these words mean something simple. Well, you use a simple word. Right, they should get me to write Stephen Hawking's book.
Yeah,
and then I just
be like, and if he can't explain it enough to you for you to write it, then
guess what, Stephen? We don't learn what you teach because we're not, are keeping all this information that keeps the rest of us down.
Yeah,
because we don't know what the words mean, and you're just making up harder words, and no one knows what any of those words mean. So then the group gets smaller and smaller because y'all are like, blah, 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 using all this stuff, and it's basically going. I just want to go so we live in an ocean?
Yeah.
And they go, yeah.
So it's like a whirlpool.
It's like a whirlpool, black holes.
Big star.
All right. Big star. It blew up. We're here.
Yeah.
Okay.
There are about 5,000 exoplanets, which is planets outside our solar system. And they're discovering more weekly. So that number keeps going up.
We got just like a camera out there.
We got all kinds of telescopes.
How many satellites are out in space?
I mean, there's so much space junk. I read the other day that we may have our own ring like Saturn someday of just space junk going around.
Yeah. Is that where recycling goes?
Dude. Yeah, I looked this up. There's 500,000 pieces of space debris floating around the Earth's orbit.
You got any pictures?
I don't have any pictures of it.
Oh. So
they're keeping those on the down.
They just throw it. Yeah. So they just throw it up there, and there's nothing we can do.
And it's going at 17,500 miles per hour. So it's like, it could be, you're right, it could become like a real problem.
Well, wasn't there just an incident on the space station where they had to get in because space junk was coming? I mean, that the movie Gravity, that's what happened in that movie, but I think it just almost really did happen.
Gravity. Mm-hmm. Is it good?
Yeah, it's great.
That's real good, man.
I never saw it either.
It's about gravity.
And Sandra Bullock.
Gravity plays a big role. For sure. Yeah.
It's a big part. It's a big part. But on these exoplanets, now they think there's billions and billions of planets out there. Oh, you just asked about telescopes.
Yeah.
They're about to launch, or somebody did. Maybe it wasn't you.
But I said cameras.
New iPhone.
Some Sony handy cams zoomed in all the way.
They're about to launch. So Hubble Telescope's the one that's taken all these pictures, all these great photos over the years. But they're about to launch the James Webb Telescope, which is way more powerful than Hubble's telescope. And it's going to show us stuff we've never seen before.
Looks like a honeycomb.
Oh, and they put it in space.
On a rocket, and then they... Yeah, and then,
that's pretty cool.
And then this has been hung up because of COVID, and then they got mad at the name because I guess James Webb said some anti... they're trying to cancel James Webb. He's dead, I think, but they're trying to cancel the name. So they're upset.
Cancel somebody when they're dead.
Well, they're upset about calling it after him because he said some stuff back in the day that they don't like now. But once they get all that...
We're sending him to space. Does that not count for something?
That's how bad it was.
Well, now James Webb's out of our universe. We never have to talk to him ever again.
Put his body on there, send him out of here. But once that gets launched, they say we'll see stuff that we've never seen before.
That's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
You'll see another you. His first thing, he sees another Brian Bates with his hand. He's just
waving up at it.
Just waving. Tell everybody down on Earth we're from Fillard County. Says hello.
Fillard County.
Is there a Fillard County?
Not in Tennessee.
I made it up right now.
I thought you said they halted production of it because of COVID. Obviously, it's like the workers, but it just sounds like it's not safe to go to space right now because of COVID.
You got to wear two suits. COVID
travel? Yeah, you got to wear two
suits.
Two suits. Yeah, two helmets. You got a mask over the glass just in case, I wonder. They had to do COVID stuff.
Wasn't there a fear of COVID on the space station?
Oh, I don't know.
I heard something like that.
I feel like there was. Yeah. Like they had to do something.
And wipe everything down.
Yeah.
A new guy came up. They're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. He goes, I don't have it. I got a cough.
6 feet apart,
did
buddy.
Sick in space?
I'm sure.
I guess you could.
Yeah.
But just somebody's thrown up in their helmet.
Yeah.
But these exoplanets, they're looking for...
I don't need to see a video of it.
Well, I'm not going to watch a video of somebody throwing up in space or anything. Viruses don't spread the same off Earth, this says.
Oh, that's nice.
This is too long for me to read right now, but it looks like something interesting.
Yeah, it just wouldn't. Astronauts have fallen ill while in space. While floating off Earth, astronauts have endured upper respiratory infections or colds. And, something in space medicine at the Baylor College of Medicine. Why do they always go different colleges? You always see that, like, when they talk to someone, they go, oh, this guy from this college. Is that, like, a PR for a college? Like, they're just,
It is, for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, they pay for that.
It's also where these people are. I mean, where else would they be?
Who?
But.
Like, scientists.
No, but you see it everywhere. Like we go and talk to this college about this thing.
Oh, right.
Probably what happened, like space.com, that school probably sent out a press release to them saying, we've determined this in our studies, and then space writes the article about it. Instead of space approaching them saying, hey, do you got somebody that knows about sick astronauts?
Oh, wait. No, you're saying space.
Space.com.
Oh, space.com is the people that decide. The Center for Space Medicine told space.com. So the Center for Space Medicine figured it out and then called space.com and said, do y'all want to write an article about colds in outer space?
Yeah.
And they go, oh, pitch it a little better than that. And then luckily the coronavirus came around. They go, huh?
Oh, yeah. Huh? Now it's interesting.
Now it's good. They go, hey, you still got that sneezing space thing?
Did you ever see Apollo 13, the movie?
I think so.
Yeah, remember they all get sick on the flight back.
Like that. They got cold.
One of them got really, really sick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that was just because they were so cold, right?
That didn't help.
Who was that, Gary Sinise?
Well, Gary Sinise didn't get to go to space because they said he was going to have the measles.
Yeah.
Oh, so he, oh, okay, I knew something.
Are the flowers blooming in Houston? Remember that? I've seen that movie a bunch.
Is that the code word?
That just meant, do you have the measles? And he's like, nah, they're not. I don't have the measles.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
He didn't want to say it out loud.
He didn't want the, yeah. He wanted to trash talk the NASA's doctors.
Tom Hanks asked him from space.
Over the radio, are the flowers blooming in Houston? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw it a long time ago. It is a great movie.
Holds up.
Yeah, I don't remember it. But it's, it was a great movie.
Yeah.
Tom Hanks, top of his game.
Those exoplanets, so they're looking for planets in what they call the Goldilocks zone, which is where it's not too hot and not too cold, because they think that's where there could be life.
Mm-hmm.
So they found a few planets.
Why do they call it Goldilocks?
From the nursery rhyme or whatever that would be considered.
Not too hot, not too cold, just right.
Oh, yeah.
She ate the porridge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Before she snuck into the bear's house.
That's true.
Breaking, entering.
Goldilocks, that's a good name.
Mm-hmm. Goldilocks?
Goldilocks. I'm not a person's name, but it's...
Well, it's easy to remember. Like
Goldilocks.
Isn't it a person's name in the...
Goldie.
In the story?
I think the girl's name, right?
Goldie, and she has locks.
Oh, and she has locks.
Yeah. But I thought her name was Goldilocks.
It is. She's Goldilocks, but she has locks. I think it's her nickname.
Yeah,
it's her nickname. Oh, it's a nickname.
Yeah, it's her nickname.
That makes way more sense.
First name's Goldie. You're Goldilocks? You go, yeah.
It's kind of like,
she's talking to bears. So.
Kind of a one name.
She's Goldie from Lake Geneva, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
She's
Goldie from the locks of, where's the locks? What's that thing that lives in the locks?
Oh, Loch Ness Monster?
Loch Ness Monster.
Oh, I love that.
Like name's Goldie. Where do you come from? The Loch Ness Monster Lake? Oh, is that what it's called? No, but if I tell you the real name, you're not going to know it.
It's Ness, right?
Ness.
Yeah.
Lake Ness?
Loch Ness just means Lake Ness, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Oh, it does?
Yes.
Is that the name of the...
Oh, Loch Ness. Yeah, Lake Ness Monster. Yeah.
Lake Ness Monster.
So the lake is called Ness.
No, the Ness Lake. That would Nestlock. Be if someone goes, everybody goes, you going, where are you going to go? The Ness Lake. I'm sure you've heard of it. You go, I haven't. They go, Loch Ness. And you go, all right, man. I guess. I didn't, I don't talk about it that often.
I don't understand. What do y'all talk about in a cosmology class?
About the origins of the universe, how it started. I should know a lot more about the Big Bang Theory and stuff just based on that class, but I don't remember. I retained very little.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because I've been relying on you pretty hard.
Well, I did 20 minutes of rudimentary research before this. Yeah. So I feel pretty good about it.
Was 10 of it figuring out what rudimentary meant? Mm-hmm. That's where I would have got stuck.
So technically, this is...
Spelling rudimentary would have been... I never made it past that.
And Mars is in the Goldilocks zone. That's what they say.
So they're saying that, life... So these could be... So Earth, we're good.
Uh-huh.
Venus, I'm sorry, you're so close.
Yeah.
But you just can't. Mercury.
Mercury, why are you wasting our time?
You should be embarrassed.
I feel like they keep going back and forth on Mars. Like, we can live there, we can't.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's our only option at this point.
Well, so they think life in a... So we think we can live in those other dots, too?
Yeah, but I think all of them... Mars is the only one that we actually have the ability to go to.
It has water too, right? Now what they said, some water.
There's ice.
But that other one looks closer. What is that?
Well, this has nothing to do with distance. This is a graph, which I know is your favorite.
So that has nothing to do with distance.
This has nothing to do with how far.
So why would they even spread them out?
Well, this is a graph that's where the y-axis is. This is a graph where the y-axis is the size of the planet, and the x-axis is the temperature. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, why are they in different spots if there's no distance doesn't matter because it's showing you something?
Yeah, because it's just showing you how big it is compared to Earth and how hot and cold it is compared to Earth.
So,
but this is so far away. This Kepler 186f is like light years and light years away.
So it doesn't mean it's right there?
No.
It's just saying that's colder.
Right.
So Mars is a little bit colder. It's colder than that Kepler, but why is it so high?
Because it's smaller than Kepler is.
Oh, okay. So that's the size. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
It's not
Are you
clearest.
Supposed to just know that when you look at every graph?
No, but you read the labels on the axis.
And then that's what it says?
Yeah. See this? Oh, yeah. The Earth's mass.
Is it...
I teach a lot of stuff in school, huh?
You retain quite a bit.
I'm saying is Mars is the only one we can get to. The other ones are way too far away. So we just have, Mars is our only option. We got to go live there.
Got to go to Mars. I think we could talk Venus into it. They're right there.
They're close enough. Get a little bit colder.
Just a little. You know you want to do it.
Yeah.
Is it Scientology that the founder was from a planet or went to a planet or?
What's his name? Ray of Hubbard?
Tom Cruise.
Yeah, L. Rod Hubbard.
Ray R. Hubbard. Yeah, something like that. It was basically built off of a science fiction novel. And then the whole religion's based off of that. All their, I don't know that much about it. So I tried to watch that movie. They did the John Travolta movie, which is about the whole thing. You know what I'm talking about?
Saturday Night Fever?
Battlefield.
Battlefield.
Beyond Battlefield or something. Yeah. I don't know.
Battlefield of
with, LA. With Barry Pepper.
What movie
Barry
is that? Pepper. Battlefield movie. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm talking about we had dreadlocks. No? Yeah. All right. That's right.
I'm about out here.
Yeah.
In fairness, we had like 20 minutes to get ready for this.
Yeah, we just figured we'd talk more about the universe. Battlefield Los Angeles.
Yeah. What's the John Travolta movie? Could you, besides
Battlefield Game Earth?
Life? Battlefield Earth. That's it.
That's with M. Night Shyamalan.
No.
Yeah.
Battlefield Earth is considered one of the worst movies of all time.
Is it really? That's not Shyamalan, is it?
Wow.
No, I thought it was.
No.
But he's in that.
He did After Earth.
I know, but go up. I think.
Yeah, he is in
it. Why did John Travolta do Battlefield Earth? Click on that.
I think it won more Razzie Awards than any movie ever.
No.
So this is about Scientology.
He was so committed to get this film made that he cut his $20 million salary in half. Man. That's quite a sacrifice.
Yeah, you still made 10.
I know, but that's like where you want to go. Like, well, dude, if you didn't do it for free, like if you're like, well, I want to get this message out, then you go, then do it for free.
But that's not a movie about Scientology. It was just written by the founder.
It's not about the book it's based off of.
According to that, no. Okay. I mean, I think it's a futuristic alien
movie. Well, they're all about aliens, right?
Well, what do I know? But I mean, the way that reads to me, it's just like he did it. To just publish this guy's book.
Okay.
I didn't think it was about Scientology.
And that's his book. And that's
what I just always thought the religion was based
on. I think he wrote a lot of books. I think L. Ron Hubbard was an author, so he wrote a bunch of books and they made this one a movie.
Then he started that.
That's brutal, man. Often considered one of the worst films ever made. 3% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I love Barry Pepper too, though.
Which one is Rotten Tomatoes a pretty good gauge? Or is that like, I do look at audience scores.
Oh, yeah, versus the critic score?
Yeah.
They're sometimes vastly different.
Yeah, even though I was a critic's choice.
I was about to say.
Besides that, I think they nailed it.
It's a 12% audience score, which is not great.
Sometimes I don't, but like sometimes you go to Amazon, you look at like it's always off, but you have the audience thing. And I mean, almost every movie ever made, audience is like, loved it. Like everybody loved it. Because it's, people are just putting, I like it.
Well, yeah,
91%.
You got the 91 on Rotten Tomatoes audience score. The critics didn't even bother, but now they're gonna start to.
Didn't care less.
Now you're gonna be a critic's choice.
There's 4 reviews from critics, but not enough for a consensus, I guess.
Yeah, and they were all, I don't know if I want to read these.
They're all positive.
Yeah, you don't even want to.
Do you have an IMDb page?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have one now. Somebody made one for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because of the show that we did.
Show with Greg.
Yeah, but it's funny because someone said something like AKA Breakfast, or also known as Breakfast.
Yeah, you
or
can
something.
Maybe update it.
There it is.
So funny, dude. That. I mean, you got to be the only picture like that picture. I mean, there just has to be. Everybody else has like a headshot in yours.
That's a headshot.
I know, but that just looks like,
that's a headshot like, use.
You know,
you have a bio.
It looks like you have that picture on your chest as you greet people.
Oh, this is a Brian Bates trivia fact on your IMDb.
Oh, you got a trivia fact.
Yeah, AKA breakfast in some circles.
That's awesome. What does it say on the thing?
This is bio.
That's my bio.
Does it have star? There's a star meter.
At the top, there was something.
Yeah, what's your star meter?
Yeah, let's see where you're ranked.
Let's see what all our stars are.
I need to log into it. So I, because I have the.
But
I
what am I known for?
There's a way to rank it. Hold on.
Oh, you need to be the pro.
Yeah.
This is worth it. Let's log in. Let's
look what are we about to do?
We're about to see where you rank. Where you rank on the list of stars in the world?
Oh.
Can you do mine? Let's do all of ours.
Yeah, we do all of them.
How many stars are there? There's more stars than grains of sand.
That's for sure. That's for sure.
You have my phone right in there. I have it on my phone. I thought I had it here.
IMDb TV, which is where the show Brian and I did.
Oh, that's right. Maybe that's why it's on there. It's going to be airing. I don't know.
Yeah.
Let's see.
And that's coming out.
I have it
fairly soon.
Fairly soon. We'll be letting everybody know.
Yeah.
Do we know?
I'm excited. No, I don't know exactly when yet.
It's coming out fairly soon. When? I have no idea.
I mean, fairly is relative.
Yeah.
You know, within the next 2 or 3 years.
In the green scheme of the universe.
The green scheme.
The green screen of the universe.
You can put whatever you want up there. That's how green screen works.
All right. So this worked here.
You got it.
How do I?
Yeah, you search for old Breakfast Bates.
I know, but I have to get the password now on here, and it's like a different password. Hold on.
Dustin, do you have any thoughts on time travel or multiverses? We talked about that last week.
Time travel.
Are you for it?
Yeah, absolutely. I've always hoped that things are real. You know what I mean?
Would not be for it?
Yeah.
Would you, if you only had
to be like, I'm not for it. I would vote against it.
Something if you only had a choice, you can only go backwards in time or forwards, what would you choose?
I don't know if looking forward is going to be that great.
You know what I mean? My gosh. That's the bleakest take.
You know what I mean?
I think we had better times in the past.
Yeah, the 90s are pretty good to me.
The good old days? Good
old days. Yeah, you would but just go 90s.
Nine music was better. You know, I don't know. I'd like to see certain things, you know.
Do you think music has gotten worse, or do you think we just remember the good music?
It's
a little bit of both.
I think it's worse. I think it's not worse. It's just recycled. I think anything new, you know, is always from something else.
This is a miracle that this password worked.
Oh yeah, you got to work.
Yeah.
So you got to.
But I think any hit that you
got to renew the membership
off something else. You gonna use mine?
No, you have a new pro.
Yeah,
I think I got it.
I got it somewhere.
It's a matter of principle now. We gotta get this figured out.
Yeah,
I mean, I just logged in to IMDb Pro. IMDb Pro. I was thinking about the music thing this week. Like, you know, I think it's everything. I think things are not as creative. Like, you're getting to a little more algorithm kind of type stuff.
Yeah.
And so it's like people don't.
This is his Grammy speech, by the way.
Yeah. Well, it's like, but everybody's looking at everything as like kind of an algorithm, and you know, so it's not. It's definitely not the same. Like it just doesn't mean the same.
Yeah. But it's like Sturgill Simpson has like a Waylon Jennings sound. Like everything kind of, you know.
Yeah.
Resurfaces to something else that's newer but older, you know. But he puts a cool spin on it, so it keeps it fresh, and you know, it's like that's how everything works.
Well, it's like stuff has really been written. Like if you hear the old song, seems like the words were it was like written out. It's a story, and I mean, some still do it, but then some of them it's all about like it's all like generated stuff. So it's not like did they have to do that when they first wrote music a long time ago? Would they have to like come up with the sound? Yeah. And now it's like anybody.
There's only so many chords. There's only so much you could do, really. I think with music, especially like rock and roll and country, it's all kind of.
Yeah, it's a whole.
Yeah,
that's its own show. Hey.
Oh. Yeah. So you're 27,990.
Okay, let's all rate
that's
ourselves.
That's pretty high, dude. Right.
What is it?
When you think of all the stars in the world.
Yeah, dude.
That is pretty good.
Big deal.
I'm a little concerned if Nate's 27,990.
I'm not surprised it's that high. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I think mine's going to be pretty bad.
There, I mean, you can look at do it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
that's Nate's star meter.
So what is this, 27?
27.
Oh, I remember looking at it.
27,999.
Yeah. Hold on. Go back. Go click the star meter and let's see what top is and stuff like that. So mine wrote. Oh, last 12. Oh, that was.
So this the week your special came out.
That was 4,000.
4,000.
Okay.
And I got now I'm back down to 27.
You can go back 5 years here. You've had a couple of peaks. What happened?
Yeah,
March 3rd, 2019.
Tennessee Kid
came out.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice. And then this is probably the. You did Fallon and stand-ups in that same in that same week.
Wow.
And but like, is there like, I wonder who is the Katie Hazelton? She's 2300. She was in our pilot, and then who was like, who's number one? Like, how do you see the number one? Just so everybody sees. I don't even know what this is ranked on. Like,
I didn't even know this exists.
What do I have? What are my IMDb credits? Like, is it?
You're down 3,000 this week.
Oh, gosh. It's probably this podcast.
You got all the Tonight Show appearances. Oh, Jay Cutler's podcast.
CBS Morning. I love the, Oh, there's stuff.
It's and Marin and then all your Netflix specials. Yeah, you got a lot of
stuff. So, can you look at, like, just, like, is there a star meter thing?
I wish I could. Let me look for the rankings.
Look at the top. Go to the top and see the top of the page. Is there not a star meter thing? All right.
Here we
top
go.
Star meter. So. Oh, and we can find them. Haley Steinfeld. She's number one right now.
I don't know if those other two people are.
Yeah, that's crazy. Daniela Pineda.
Never heard of her.
Jurassic World. And none of these Kingdom. People. And Originals. I don't even. So I guess Jurassic World's coming out. She's like the top.
See, I would guess The Rock would be number one. Yeah, Cole Hauser. I mean,
it changes, seems like, just constantly.
I
mean, know most of these people.
Yeah, Jesse Plemons, he's great.
That's weird.
Yeah, all right. So they're there, and I'm 27,000 away from. I can't see them.
I think I'm like 200,000.
I am probably in my Rhode Island, 1.8 Rhode Islands away from them. So Brian Bates, actor, the film Sprung. His ranking is 241,175.
I think it's better than mine.
Which is more than the people that are even trying to be in entertainment. There is...
There's like 5,000 people are trying.
It's a safe number. Yeah. How did they ever get this number? You're all. What was your... Look at
I want to see my peak or whatever.
Filmography. Yeah. So he was in the... Uber Important. What is that?
That's my Dry Bar special.
Oh, that's your Dry Bar special.
Yep.
And then Stand Up Nashville.
Yep.
And then on Somewhat the Damaged Network. Podcast.
Yep.
What is that?
That's the guys. It says Brain Baits there, I see.
Oh, yeah.
Those are the guys.
Brain Baits. Yeah. Listen, you didn't have date laying up there?
Let's look at your graph.
Oh, you got a little peak. What was this peak?
Here's a big valley right here. I don't know. I don't know what right happened there. You dipped down. You dipped down to 2,005,000.
You just had a drop, dude. I mean, just May of 2021 was not good for old breakfast. He hit a bottom.
2.5 million.
I mean, it was when did the podcast start?
July of 2020.
Oh,
yes,
so back. that was you were down at the bottom when you were on the podcast.
Yeah, that was. Have I?
You've had some up and downs. I mean, you drop. That's a pretty big rise. Go to his peak. His peak. I mean,
80,000.
80,000 is a peak. That's, not bad. You almost can't even walk around.
What
outside.
Happened that weekend?
People know you. Yeah. Last 12 months, you've
Grand
been
Old
down
Opry.
93,000.
That's a Grand Old Opry.
Is that when you made your Grand Old Opry debut?
Yep. September.
Wow.
What's cool. His lowest? His lowest is 10 million.
Oh, yeah.
His lowest, he was at 9,890,000. That was his lowest. That's when he started the entertainment.
How many
November
people?
8th, 2020 is when Breakfast came on the map out of 9 million. It only goes to a little 10 million is as low as it goes. And he came out of the gate.
There you go. We just stopped counting at 10 million.
10 million. It's like, you get it.
We'll see what Dustin's at.
It's going to be rough.
Yeah.
I just have like a stand-up picture on there.
All right. 395,000.
Not bad. I feel like I'm going to be in the millions for sure after seeing all these.
It's all crazy. It goes off of just like... You know, look, you got all that.
Dustin's on crashing.
Yeah, you have actual stuff.
Like a ton of stuff on
there. Yeah, the crashing. And
Howard Stern.
Do you want to look at the...
You see if you got down to 9 million? luckily were never really down there.
Oh
no, you never even came close. You didn't come close
to
Brian.
Even show you. You're up there now.
Peaked out at 80.
You're peaking right now.
Oh, that's when crashing. Yeah, crashing.
Yeah, he's on his, and right now it's moving up, moving up. Yeah. All right.
Get that Nate Land bump.
Do Aaron.
Nate Land's not even on there.
I know. How do we get Nate Land on there? We got to get Nate Land on there.
Aaron didn't even have a headshot.
Is this this is me, though.
This is Aaron.
This is me.
556,000.
Dude, oh my God.
That is, you're lowest. So, I mean, Bates is,
I'm killing
money.
I'm 241,000.
You should have Bates write you a reference letter. Like, is that, you know, and say, just welcome you to the industry. Would you like to talk to the industry a little bit, Aaron? Because they don't know you.
Yeah. This month, you're up 8,613,000.
What a month.
Yeah, on my birthday, I was the 9 millionth.
On your birthday.
That's embarrassing, man. Yeah. I mean, I'd be.
That's crazy.
I'd give it up.
Yeah. Look, but you're on your way. What's the highest you got?
Man, highest I got was 120,000.
Yeah. Wow.
You know what, dude?
Hey, you can only go up from here.
I'm grateful for it all. You know,
grateful for it all. You can only go up here.
Shout out to everybody who got me here, dude.
So, yeah.
550,000.
We're doing it. We're going to start making everybody look up theirs when they come in.
Oh, yeah.
That's funny. That's very funny.
All right, everybody. Dustin, you have stuff, dates or anything? Website?
Yeah, it's my website, dustinchafin.com. I have a show on Twitch. Just check me out at Dustin Chafin on Instagram and all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And then everybody else?
I think I'm done for the year. Yeah, done for the year. I'm going to go down even more on AMTV. Yeah.
Oh, I got to get after it. Obviously,
Comedy Works Denver, New Year's. Ooh. New Year's. Yeah, come check it
downtown
out.
Downtown?
Yeah. With Dusty Slate.
That's awesome. Nice. Comedy Works Denver. All right, everybody. As always, we love you very much. And we thank you. Nick Novicki, 32,000. He's up there.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, he's right on your heels.
He's a big deal. Yep. So, all right. We love you, everybody. Hi, Harper. All right. See y'all. Bye. Thanks, everybody, for listening to the Nate Land Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our show on iTunes, Spotify, you know, wherever you listen to your podcast. And please remember to leave us a rating or a comment. Nate Land is produced by me, Nate Bargatze, and my wife, Laura, on the All Things Comedy Network. Recording and editing for the show is done by Genovations Consulting in partnership with Center Street Media. Thanks for tuning in. Be sure to catch us next week on the Nate Land Podcast.